Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy. I'm pleased to bring to you the last two Mishnahs, 11 and 12, of Chapter 4 of Bava Metziah, for the OU Shnayim Mishnah program. And we continue with other financial shenanigans, which must be avoided by people who sell produce, products, and goods. Ein arvin perot beferot, afilu chadashim b'chadashim, ve'ein tzarech lomar chadashim b'yishanim. So don't mix up one type of fruit for another, not even new fruit for different new fruit, and needless to say, not new fruit for older fruit. Now, what they're talking about in the new fruit for new fruit is a case where you bring somebody into your field, you say, hey, you like these nice, good-looking new tomatoes? And the person says, yeah, I like these tomatoes. Send me 8 boxes by FedEx. And when the boxes come, they're actually tomatoes from a different field. So even though they're both theoretically of the same quality and status, you're not allowed to mix fruits from one with another because the purchaser deserves to get what they thought that they were paying for and not something else. And of course, if you switch the new fruits, if the person intended to get older fruits, yishanim, and you gave him newer fruits, now here either the sense is they're talking about fruits, since it's clear the older fruits are the better fruits, it doesn't mean rotty fruits, but I guess it means ripe fruits, and then you sell them instead of nice, lush tomatoes, what he winds up getting in his FedEx boxes, or very green tomatoes that may or may not become ripened. The Bartnura says that we're talking, the older ones are better since they're more dried out, so they make flour better. So I think the Bartnura sounds more like he's talking about wheat, even though the Mishnah says perot. But nonetheless, today we call all of this idea a bait and switch, where you sell somebody one thing and in the end you wind up delivering something else. And the Mishnah really takes us surprisingly to a place where bait and switch is not okay, even if you think that you've switched item A for B and A for B are equivalent. That you can't do. Be'emet, be'yayin hitiru la'rev kasheh barach mipnei shehu mashbicho. But in truth, one can swap a bit of raw wine in, can mix in a little bit of raw wine into an older mellow wine, since it improves it. So here what we have is bait and switch is okay. I guess I'm not sure you really call it bait and switch anymore, but it is okay to modify the product that you deliver from the product that you actually displayed if you're improving the produce. So by adding a little bit of harsh wine into the softer wine, I guess you've given it more of a flavor, and therefore people know that it's commonly done, and people accept the bait and switch, and I'm not even sure you could really call it bait and switch anymore. There is some dispute about whether you could do it the other way, where the Mishnah only mentions raw wine into softer wine, but not the other way, or whether it really meant both ways, but that's not something that we will conclude here. Another rule, Ein ma'arvim shimrei mayin b'yayin, aval notein lo et shimarav. Now, it looks like what the Mishnah meant is you can never put dregs into wine, but that's not what it means. It means you can't put dregs from one wine into the sale, into wine, into a different wine that a person purchased. And that's because the dregs, the shmarim, of one wine will ruin the taste of the other wine that the person wanted. Aval, notein lo shmarav, but you can put in the dregs of the same wine. And I think the assumption is that the person knows that when they're buying from a vat of wine, there is a percentage of dregs at the bottom. And as long as their bottle contains dregs from the same percentage of dregs from the same wine, that isn't cheating. Now, there are some commentators who say that it can't mean dregs, because who wants dregs at all? The person was purchasing wine, not dregs, but it's referring just to the thicker, muddier wine that you get towards the bottom of the barrel, which is still a nice modern expression. Be careful of selling things from the bottom of the barrel. And here it's okay to do, as long as it's from the same barrel that you sold the overall goods from. So if you are a winemaker that mixes water into your wine, you may not sell that watered down wine to a chanut, which is a retail shopkeeper, Ela im kein hodio, unless you told him, listen, this water is watered down, and then you could trust him to pass the word down to his customers that when they're buying what they thought was wine concentrate or pure wine, that it actually had a little bit of water thrown in, it was diluted. But velo letagar afal pisha hodio, but you can never sell to a wholesaler watered down wine if you're a winemaker. Sheino ela ramopo, because you know that the only reason the wholesaler is picking up this product, which is watered down, is so he could sell it not watered down into his distribution units. Makom shenagul hatil mayim b'yayin yatilu. However, If it is a place where it's usual to water down the wine, that's okay. And the Gemara says this does not mean that you take a bottle of wine, you throw some water into it. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a winemaker that he likes to put a little bit of water into his vats of wine so that while they're still in the process of fermentation and making wine, because the water is adding to the taste, and that's something that in this community, if they happen to like their wine with a little bit of water flavor or whatever it is, a little mellower, then that's perfectly fine. But once the wine is finished, you can't scoop it out with a barrel or scoop it out with a with a glass or a container or a bottle and put wine into that. Then you go back to the original rules. You may not sell it unless you tell people exactly what they're getting. Now moving on to Mishnah Yod Bet, we have some final laws regarding honesty in business and honesty, interestingly enough, in advertising. Hatagar notel michamesh giranot. A tagar is a merchant, really a wholesaler. So a wholesaler is allowed to purchase from many granaries, that he goes around from farm to farm, he buys people's grains, and he's allowed to toss all of those grains into the same holding unit. Why? Because people know that his job is not to sell person A's grains and person B's grains, but he's just collecting it all together to sell as one big mass. Also, a michamesh gitot, v'notein l'toch pitas echad. He is also allowed to purchase from five different, and it doesn't just mean five, of course, but it means however many winemakers, and he can take all of their vats and take liquid from their vats and throw them all into one vat of his own, because again, people know that that's how wholesalers do business. In modern times, the truth is people do like to identify where they got certain produce from, but back in the old days, that's not, they didn't have those kind of big stores. The guy had one vat he bought from five different winemakers. He's going to throw it all into his own personal vat and then sell it by the bottle or whatever it is. However, he's allowed to do this, but he's not allowed to intentionally do it for the sake of mixing things up. And what that means is, let's say he knows he has some cheaper grains. He has more expensive grains. He's not going to be able to get rid of the cheaper grains, so he mixes them all together, and he sells them all for a higher price than he would have been able to get for the cheaper grains by themselves. So that you're not allowed to do if your intentions are nefarious. But otherwise, you are allowed to mix things together. And caveat emptor, the purchaser has to just understand that he's going to be getting a mix of things. And now for an interesting shot against advertising. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo yichalek chenvani klayot ve'egozim l'tinokot mipnei shehu margilan lavo etzlo. Rabbi Yehuda says a shopkeeper cannot distribute goodies, in this case nuts and toasted roasted wheat, to children in order to make them used to coming to the store, and this way he'll be able to have a wider market. Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to do something like this. And it's interesting because we're not really talking about a guy who's gets with people on drugs or something like that, or on chocolate, so the people have no choice to come in. We're not talking about a drug where a person loses their free will. We're essentially talking about any store that puts up really good marketing, that gets people to look inside and like to hang out there, and even gets free stuff in order for them to build up some customer loyalty. Rabbi Yehuda says doing that is not okay. Chachamim matirim. Chum say it is okay, and probably not for the reasons that you might think, which is it's okay to play around with people's mental states in order to sell them product. No, they say it's okay because everybody has the same advantage. One store owner could say, listen, if you want to give away some free nuts, you could do the same thing, and therefore, since all the stores are on an equal footing, therefore it is okay to do. It looks like this next comment is once again coming from Rabbi Yehuda. He says, lo yifachet et ashar, you're now allowed to sell your goods at below market. This happens every now and then, where somebody sells below market at a price in order to get somebody to buy into the product. And once you've hooked a large customer base, you can then raise the prices again. So this Tana says that you're not allowed to do that. Once again, Chachamim go for a freer capitalist system, and they say Chachamim amrim zachur latov. They will be remembered very well, which means anybody who drives down a market price ultimately is doing a good thing. We have a few more left. Lo yavor et agrisim divrei Abba Shaul. So Abba Shaul says you're not allowed to do borer, lo yavor, you're not allowed to do borer, to remove the crud from the ground wheat. That is, when you ground wheat, there's a certain amount of chaff and shell that's still there, and you're not allowed to remove it yourself. Now, this probably would apply to other produce, any kind of produce that you spruce up. And the idea is that the owner is going to be able to sell even above the market price for for already sort of decrudded stuff because it looks so good, the person is going to say, ooh, I want to get me some of that, and they're willing to pay a higher price. It reminds me a little bit, but again, ask your local rabbi or yoetzet halakha to decide what is correct on these matters. But it always reminds me of how you go into supermarkets and they constantly spray the goods with like water so it has a nice shiny kind of fresh appeal, and then when the water wears away it's not really that shiny. But that could actually not be like this. That may be actually like you're tricking somebody. We'll see that in the last item of the Mishnah, and then we'll talk about whether that applies to fruits and vegetable and produce, or whether it only applies to other things. In any event, umodim, chachamim matirim, chachamim say, listen, again, you're not tricking the buyer. The buyer knows that you, the seller, the shopkeeper, you took the time to take off the chaff and to leave them with only good quality stuff, and they could see what's there. They understand. The buyer is smart. The buyer can figure out that you're trying to put on a nice show. But by looking at it, they can evaluate exactly what the cost is. You don't have to worry that they're going to be fooled by, wow, that is the shiniest bit of grains I've ever seen, so now I'm going to pay double for it. No, the Chachamim trust the buyer will make a good decision as long as they see what they're getting, and getting what they're seeing, it's not a problem. Umodim, but they admit, Shelo yavor me'al pi megora, she'enu ela kigonev et ein et ha'ayin. But you can't just clean up the top layer and leave the bottom layers below that all cruddy, and then when the store owner scoops his scooper down in and sells to the guy, he thinks he's getting all quality stuff, when in fact there's a lot of chaff that was hidden underneath. So obviously you are tricking the person, you're making him think that something is what it is not, and that is not okay to do. Finally, ein mafar chasin lo et adam velo et behema lo et kelim. You're not allowed to pretty up the appearance, not of people, which again is a slavery issue, which I'm not going to get into, nor of an animal, nor of a utensil. You can't buff things up, water things down to make things look better than they are. And what's interesting here is it does not mention fruits and vegetables, so it's really not clear whether that would only apply to the three types of things it was talking about: the adam, the person, and the behema, animal, and kelim are just utensils. Or whether, you know, prettying anything up to look better than it actually is, and by the time you get home you see that it's not okay. That's why it's not clear for me when a supermarket, sprays its produce with water. You can say on one hand they just want to make it look nice, how it might look if it's nice and fresh. On the other hand, you could say it's a little bit of a trick, because by the time you get home and the water dries out, you see just how water disappears, you see just how dry the skin was. So it's really not clear to me if this and that are the same. Nonetheless, with these items, with the people, slavery, which again I'm going to avoid, and the animals and the utensils, you are not allowed to pretty them up in order to make a sale and make them look better than they are. Of course, we have very high standards. I think there are plenty of used goods markets that would probably wither away if a person, you know, if they stopped doing this kind of prettying things up to make the customer think they're getting better things than they actually walk home with. But nonetheless, we have very high standards for buying and selling.